talking about podcast. We're talking about
Bitch.
Action Daddy Podcast. A podcast.
Welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. It's an Action Daddy Podcast. And I am your Action Daddy, Jordan.
There's just not that many knock-knock jokes on the internet, and that's surprising.
Wow.
So I found a knock-knock joke about aliens, and it's so funny. Are you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm Doge, also. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Alien.
Alien who?
Alien who?
How many aliens do you know?
That's kind of, okay.
This was written by a child. None.
Well, that's the
usually joke. You don't answer the second question.
Yeah. Usually the second part isn't a question.
Alien who? Well, how many aliens do you know?
How many aliens do you know? I've got to be the only alien you know.
Not like, how many aliens do you know?
I'm Doge, the only alien you know and need.
I'm Carter. And I didn't have anything prepared right here.
Oh. It's our first episode, so that makes sense.
Forgetful. Kind of like your dad's can be.
I have a chip on my shoulder and I want to talk about it.
Tell me this.
It's fine. Do you have a pretzel on your shoulder? I'd be more interested in that.
Oh,
right, Carter?
Lord.
Remember?
Yeah, not right, Carter?
Dig. I recently went to breakfast with a friend, and that friend was like, where do you want to go? And I said, let's go to this place because they have amazing breakfast potatoes. And then I went to that place, ordered the breakfast potatoes. They have changed their breakfast potatoes to be generic breakfast potatoes.
No, where was it? Name names. Where was the restaurant? No.
I won't name the names. It's not a chain.
No, name it and I'll beep
it. Oh, it's not a chain. It's like a local business.
It's.
Oh.
The only reason to ever go there is because of the breakfast potatoes. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
And they changed them. They're just like regular, like when you go to a place and it's like, do you want home fries? Like that's what they are now.
Yeah. What were they before?
They were like, you know when it's like the little like gold potatoes and they like chunk them and like toss them and stuff and they get all extra crispy and like, you know what I'm talking about?
Get a little crispy those. Cracks.
And then now it's just like Orida frozen breakfast potatoes.
This is a cost cutting. This is to try and survive. And now on top of...
It's like this place is a 6 out of 10 with 10 out of 10 breakfast potatoes. That's why you go. And then now it's like, it's just a 6 out of 10. Nothing special about it.
Dang.
Do you think they knew that it would hurt your feelings specifically and that's why they changed it?
Whenever does anything that I don't like, I think that it is premeditated and personal on purpose.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Is that true? That's not true.
Specifically.
No, that's not true. I think that's like a personality disorder.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Oh, it's true though.
I know or don't know does anything I don't like. It is on purpose to hurt me.
That's it.
You're so out to get you out here in these rock wall streets, dude.
Well, you know, times are hard.
Times are hard. Times is tough. Guys, I was looking back. Speaking of the times, at 5 years ago, on May 28th. That's when we reviewed Alien. That's kind of why we're reviewing what we're reviewing in the latter half of our pod today. Aliens, because there's more than just the one, at least now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just wrapped up Disney Dozen. That was a wonderful animated series that we did of the Disney Renaissance, which had really, really, the most iconic of the Disney cartoons. We had just seen Endgame. And reviewed that.
Ooh.
And this was somewhere in Chooser's Choice. Raiders of the Lost Ark had been the week before. And then we had Alien. And then the next week we would review Arrival.
Wow.
So just.
That was a good time to be a pod.
Back when the world was our oyster, dude. when there was nothing out.
We were recording at Wax Space this time, right?
Yes. Yeah.
In that teeny tiny little 107 itty degree bitty room. Yeah. All the episodes sound so sweaty from back then.
They do. They do. We did sound like we had some breakfast tacos in our bellies, though. So that was nice.
You probably did. Actually, I'm fairly certain Alien was a nighttime recording because I think I remember that we were all like, ooh, big, scary, empty warehouse after we just watched this.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
I think we ordered pizza from that place about witches or whatever.
Old Hags?
Old Hag or, yeah.
place about witches.
Couldn't remember what it was called. when we were seeing the Monkey movie last week.
Yeah.
There was a trailer for Mufasa. Ooh. First of all, no thank you.
Hey, I have a conspiracy theory about Mufasa.
Oh.
He's going to die
in the sequel.
The cat?
Yeah. Wildebeest hooves can't stomp lion skulls. Open your eyes, sheeple. No, I have a real conspiracy theory about the movie Mufasa.
George Bush did Mufasa death.
I think the movie Mufasa exists to jumpstart Blue Ivy Carter's career in Hollywood.
That's crazy, man.
I think it exists to jumpstart Blue Ivy Carter's career in Hollywood because...
That's insane.
This is Blue Ivy Carter's debut, and she's playing Kiara, Simba and Nala's kid. And I 150% believe this. In the same way that After Earth was a project to jumpstart Jaden Smith's career in Hollywood, I believe Mufasa is a project to jumpstart Blue Ivy Carter's career in Hollywood. Or at least that's a partial goal.
This is crazier than certainly, I thought it was going to
be. Certainly that's can insane. Be partial, but I don't think we spend
refute it.
Over $100 million dollars when you could, she yeah, could just do anything.
I would say maybe like...
The burden of she proof is on you guys. I say something to... crazy, then you have to prove me wrong. That's how it works.
That is the game.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
This is our new game.
What I was going to say before all that happened is, I mean, number one, like obviously who's it for? But number two, all I could think, and especially talking about Disney Dozen, I don't think they're, outside of a couple of Pixar movies that I think are truly like amazing, I don't think Disney's put out a better movie than any animated movie that came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
Since.
No. I mean, just look at what they're building. I mean, really, one of their biggest moneymakers is their parks. And the majority of the lands and the IP of the parks is characters from that renaissance.
Yeah.
You know, our Disney princesses, the majority of them are from that short time period.
Who is the last new Disney princess? Was it Elsa and Anna, I guess, probably?
I think so.
Yeah, probably.
Wait. Moana, is she technically a Disney princess?
Yeah, I guess her dad's like the leader.
So I Rapunzel's guess a, princess. A princess.
Was Princess and the Frog before Frozen?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiana. Twas, dude. Twas. Guys, I've got a list for us today if we want to play a little bit of Rank You Very Much. I'm going to let you choose. In honor of the chooser's choice that was some 5 years ago.
I'm gonna let you choose.
Is that what it sounded like?
I'm gonna let you choose. Yeah.
Any chance I can sneak in my perfect impersonation of whatever that used to be called? And then we do the tiny one that you can just.
Dude, I think I would pass out if I tried to do that one.
It is quite the workout. I want to talk about dads. Sorry, everybody. We're going to talk about dads.
Let's talk about dads, baby.
Someone immediately changes it to like maximum fun. Like somebody's listening to something completely different now. Dads, no thank you.
No.
Let's talk about the greatest TV dads. Do a little Rank You Very Much here. And I'm going to let you guys choose from...
Usually I'm going to let eggs. But this time, I'm going to let is you choose.
I'm going to let you guys choose. From either, who's our source here? Is this the Pioneer Woman? This will be the 25 best TV dads on sitcoms.
I think yes for me, honestly. I don't think I need to hear the other options, but I would like to know what they are.
The other option is, it's another 25 list here. The 25 best TV dads of all time from Yardbarker. The well-known source.
Yeah, we have experience with Yard Barker in the past, and Yard Barker is less, here's the best 25, and like, here's the first 25 I could think of.
I had to include Yard Barker because it just sounds like a dad talking about his tired feet. So,
yeah, he just finished mowing.
Yeah.
These gotta old keep yard, these yard barkers up.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Yard Barker just makes me think of somebody standing in the front lawn, like announcing visitors. Just like, the Davises.
1 second. It does look like recycling first today. Recycling. Like
the town crier in your front yard.
The Davises.
Yeah, let's go Pioneer Woman. Sure.
Does Yard Barker sound like it'd be the great name, a great name for like a hot sauce company?
Yeah.
With like a drawing of a dog is their mascot with flames coming out of his mouth?
You don't have to do the flames.
I think anything that sounds weird, like it sounds like a weird description for something normal, could be a hot sauce company.
Is hot sauce company the easiest company to name?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I think if you gave me 30 minutes, I could come up with 100 incredible hot sauce company names.
Can I read the paragraph to introduce our list as my best to try and read it as the Pioneer Woman?
Yeah.
Just to kind of set the mood for this list that we're going into. Who, by the way, I find to be one of the more dull TV personalities.
Certainly. Certainly.
One of the more dull TV personalities. It's like if...
Yeah, dude.
If Bob Ross wasn't doing something interesting. I don't know. There's no doubt that a show run by a funny family matriarch is the best, Ray Drummond's Pioneer Woman. But dads are also pretty good at teaching a life lesson or two. Plus, there's a good chance they'll do it in an even more cringeworthy way. Now, Lad Drummond is just a bit camera shy for his own show, no matter how goofy he can be. He's also way too busy wrangling cattle. Still, there are plenty of incredible TV dads that are just as silly, prank-loving, and caring.
There you go. So, allow me to... Thank you, Pioneer Woman. You can leave now. allow me to metagame for just a moment. Knowing what I know about Pioneer Woman and Pioneer Woman's sort of brand, I think this is going to be a lot of, like, Sheriff Andy Taylor or, like, yeah. Ward Cleaver.
Ward Cleaver.
Whatever the guy from the Waltons is named.
Walton, I think.
You won't have to know their name if you're not
Dad,
totally
his
sure.
His name is Dad Walton.
Dad Walton.
I hate that we chose this.
I will tell you this. I think someone else made this list.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
dude.
I think she did it, dude.
I'll
I
let
think
you
she
know.
Writes every
sure
article
she knows
herself.
How to write.
I think someone.
I don't think her husband would let her near a computer.
I think someone else made this list. I think.
All right.
Are we working together?
This is not 25. This
remember.
Is 20. Did this not say 25?
Tune in next week for the top 5 dads.
No, it would be 25 through 21. They have the Yeah, it
Tune
says 25 best
the,
and there's only 20.
The bottom 5 best dads.
Next week we'll be publishing our list of the 5 worst dirtbag dads.
Here it is. It was loaded. It had a big ad. It was a big advertisement between the two. My bad.
More like a dadvertisement.
Dude, you did it. So proud of you.
We work against each other, right? First one of 3 strikes loses.
Yeah. Who would like to go first?
I will.
Jordan?
This is a good litmus test for this whole list, I think, because if this person is number one, not on there at all, but not number one, then I think it'll tell us how to eyeball this list.
Those are big words.
Phil Dunphy.
Bing, bing, bing. Phil is here, my friends, though he is not number one. So still, this may be a good little litmus test for you.
Then the list is wrong, but
he is number 18.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
There's 17 better TV dads.
Dude, whoa. Have you watched Modern Family before?
Well, I have, but it was just like, oh my God.
Phil Dunphy is like the best. He's great. There's no better.
He's great.
There are none better.
Does it feel, and this isn't my guess, does it feel like Pioneer Woman would be like, I'm sticking to it. Heathcliff Huxtable, good dad.
I've been circling the drain on that thought. Does it feel like Miss Drummond is the type to be like, I know, but like the show is good.
All of Osage. So
I'm gonna stay away from that particular vortex right now.
Not on the list.
I'm gonna guess. Okay, good.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna guess Sheriff Andy Taylor.
My friend, Bong Bong. Are you kidding?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Pioneer Woman. I'm sorry. You think you're too modern? Maybe Pioneer Woman's too woke for the Andy Griffith Show.
Dude, my dad had little preset things for our old computer to where it was like, you know, it's like the 8 sound bites. So it's like when you get mail, it says this. And he had Andy Griffith stuff. And so all the time I would hear, anytime he had mail, instead of, you've got mail, it said, hi, Barney, got the mail, did you? And it would just be like every every single time he had something in the inbox. Well, hi, Barn, got the mail, did you? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, not there, dude. Bong, bong. Devastation.
It's crazy. I guess I don't know the Pioneer Woman as well as I thought.
Or you don't know dads. Show me Danny Tanner.
Bing, bing, bing. Daniel Tanner is, I believe.
Is that listed as Daniel, really?
No. Danny Tanner
Daniel James Tanner.
Number 8. Danny Tanner of the Full House. Of the Full House. Fair of enough. Full House.
Fair enough.
R.I.P. Doja? My Doja Cat. Come on.
Did you just, you can't just look up dads.
I'm not looking up dads. I can't remember their names. I don't remember the character.
He searches name. Pioneer Woman for the answers.
Who's Pioneer Woman's favorite dad?
Huh. What's the name of the dad from Andy Griffith's show?
That's the only one I guess. Dude, why am I forgetting every dad that's ever been on TV?
Dude, I don't know. Therapists might have something to say about that.
How come I can only remember moms?
Are we saying best or like
top 25? How does this help?
Well, there's some who are bad best. Dads, but funny characters.
Best. The little blurbs under these, each of these is kind of talking about why they're good dads.
I'm gonna take another shot with Pioneer Woman. See if I can guess her game. Ward Cleaver,
of Leave It to Beaver,
of Left It to Beaver. Correct.
It's been left. It's in the past now. Let me see. I would not recognize this person's face. Let me scroll back down through here. That, my friend, is a bong bong.
Is she secretly a modern gal? Because the vibe I get from her brand is like things was better in the 50s, 60s, 70s. But she likes TV shows from now.
I mean, Phil Dunphy's on the list.
Yeah.
Doge about to get sweat, dude.
Let me get a little bit of Halcom in the Middle. A little bit of Hal from Malcolm in the Middle.
Old Cranston. Bong bong.
Well, I mean, that's one way to look at it, I guess.
It's one way to look at it is not being there.
Oh, I got my next one locked in later, bro.
Loaded.
I got my next one locked in later, bro.
Oh, frick, dude. What's his name? Peter Petrelli, Milo Ventimiglia, the dad from This Is Us.
Bing, 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 bing. Number. Come on now. Number 13, Jack Pearson from This Is Us.
Let's say, I think his name is Jack.
He named the monkey Jack.
They named the father Jack.
Jack. Jeffrey Rush is just in all the Planet of the Apes movies.
They named the monkey Caesar. He named himself Caesar.
They this named one named himself Proximus, Proximus Caesar.
We named the monkey Maurice.
Uncle Phil?
Mm. Uncle Phil of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah.
Number 19, Philip Banks from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Great dad, better uncle, I'll say.
Hmm. I mean, Sheldon Cooper's dad from Young Sheldon.
That's your last guess?
I mean, I don't think it's my last guess unless it's not on the list.
Sounds like it's your last guess.
Sounds like it's my, is his name George? He just died, Carter. Be careful. He just died in the series finale. Be careful what you say here.
Did he really? Whoa. Yeah. Wow.
Sheldon killed him with a science experiment.
Oh, my God. Bong bong, dude.
He made a baking soda volcano.
I'm the kind of dad that'll give you one more strike, so you'll get one more chance after
what? That. Four strikes and you're out. Yeah.
This is what happens, dude. Yeah. Sibling, it's just to make y'all mad at each other. You'll get one too, Jordan. It's a four strike day on Dadder Day afternoon. What's your next guess, man? Oh, you really worried he's going to use that last one well, huh?
When was the list published?
May 9th, 2023.
Oh, let me get a Bob Belcher. Let me get a Bob Belcher from Bob's Burgers.
Ooh.
Bing, 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 bing. Bob Belcher is number.
Turns out when you got a dad thing, you're kind of good at identifying good ones.
17. Dude, Jordan, you've got 17.
All mine are grouped together.
17, 18, and 19. That's fun. All Doge, you have one. Together. I don't remember it. It was so long ago. But you have one more strike. Go for it.
Michael Bluth.
What?
He's Michael a good
Bluth.
Dad.
Bing, 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 bing. Number 3.
Yeah. Hmm. Hmm.
Is that real? He's a terrible father.
Michael is a dedicated, if at times selfish, father who is in charge of keeping his family's business together.
He dude, works hard. He works hard. Dude, he's a hard worker.
I think the number 3 dad is probably the one that cannot remember his own child's fiance's name. That's crazy, dude.
I can't believe he's number 3.
An actor who's famous for his get me out of here face is the 3rd best dad.
I know, dude. That's the funny. Fact that he's on the list at all, much less number 3.
Good job, Doge.
That's bonkers. I thought that was a number Shrek 2 style like, throwaway.
Walter White.
Number 1's going to be like, Walter White would do anything for his family. That's why he's the best dad.
Dude.
Oh, man.
That's crazy. Okay. Let me do some thanking. Okay. I can afford to mess around here. It feels like
brag.
This list would have John Goodman from, was it Roseanne?
Yeah.
Feels like this list would have John
and then
Goodman's
later the Connors. Because they just killed Roseanne.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bing, 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 bing. Dan Connor, number 24.
Oh, barely made the cut, Dan.
Dad Ooh. Expert, dude.
Barely made the cut, Dan.
Doge, one strike left, my man.
We know Pioneer Woman hates the old Andy Griffith.
Oh, Lord. I was like, you're...
That's how do we feel about... How do we feel about a modern take on that archetype? And we go with Ted Lasso.
Mm.
They do say the F word, which I know she probably doesn't like in that show. But he's still
bong, 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 bong. Jordan wins. Jordan,
you get
you
a fifth strike. You know what? You get a fifth
no,
strike.
No, 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 no. Jordan wins. Jordan wins. Do you want to keep going until you've got your fourth
sure.
strike?
Sure. Yeah, I'll go a little bit. I'll give it a try. I do feel like I'm running out of steam here.
Yeah.
On dads, but let me think a little bit. the dad from Family Matters, I can't remember his name.
Winslow.
Winslow, yeah. Was it Carl Winslow?
Yeah. You're right. Bing, 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 bing. Carl Winslow up here. Our dad expert continues this phenomenal run. Carl Winslow is number 23.
Wow. You got to build a foundation. Mm-hmm. Then your tower can get really high. But you got to get those bottom levels solid.
Yeah, you got to get them. You got to get them down. Ooh, what else? So it really feels like there's an era that she likes the most. And it feels like it's the stuff that would have been on Nick at Night when we were kids. But then, I mean, also the Milo Ventimiglia pull was surprising to me. That was...
Well, she's 55 years old. What she watches is Nick at Night.
That's true.
And This Is Us.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I'm struggling. Sometimes I struggle to think of like...
Such different approaches.
Family sitcoms.
Doge was like researching the creator. And Jordan was just like, who are good dads?
It's universal.
You got to get inside her head. It's only once you understand your enemy that you can defeat your enemy.
True.
I don't know. Does it feel like she'd have the dad from the Brady Bunch? I don't think of him as a particularly strong dad.
Wayne
Brady.
Bing, 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 bing. Yes, she does.
Okay.
And it's not Wayne. It's Mike. Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch.
What does she say Number about nine. Mike Brady?
Mike Brady is pioneer.
I thought Mike was the brother.
Of sitcom dads. He gets the Father of the Year award simply for juggling six children, but he also provides the family with a great moral compass.
What's the dad from Little House on the Prairie?
The fact she doesn't have Andy Griffith?
That is crazy.
That feels like that's her demo, dude. I don't understand why she's not banging that drum so loud. That's her demographic.
Is the dad from Little House on the Prairie on this list?
Let me look, dude.
I guess it's not a sitcom.
It would have been one TV. That I just flew on by because I would not recognize Bong Bong. First strike in a while, but that's okay, kid.
It's fair.
Is that number
Keep
three?
Head up. It's two. He's got two strikes left.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know. I think I'm running out of steam. I think it's probably not fun to listen to me list off dads anymore. What's
number
the list?
25? Congratulations, Jordan. Number 25, Maxwell Sheffield from The Nanny. Fell in love with the leader of SAG.
Didn't
number 24, Dan Connor of Roseanne. Number 23, Carl Winslow of Family Matters. Number 22, Stephen Keaton from Family Ties.
Okay.
Number 21, Fred Andrews from Riverdale. I know nothing about it. Number 20, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Feels like a stretch, but okay.
So basically she's just like, if I like a TV character and they have a baby at some point in the show.
Number 19, Philip Banks.
How's that?
Philip Banks from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Phil Dunphy was 18. Bob Belcher was 17. These are all, Jordan's just getting all of these. Michael Kyle from My Wife and Kids was number 16.
I've never seen that.
Same.
Dude, Bundy. I forgot. Al Bundy?
Ted,
Al Bundy's going to be on this list.
Fresh Off the Boat.
Never seen it.
Jason Seaver from Growing Pains was number 14. Jack Pearson, that's one of the rare makes there for Doge, was number 13. Frank Costanza was number 12. Pretty awful dad, to be honest. Christopher Julius Rock from Everybody Hates Chris. Ray Campbell from Sister Sister was number 10. Mike Brady, number 9.
Dude, I was going to guess the dad from Sister Sister.
There you go.
And then I was like, I doubt it.
You should have gone with your gut, dude. You could have got the whole thing. Mike Brady, number 9. Number 8, Danny Tanner. Number 7, Al Bundy. From...
There he is.
Married with Children. From Parenthood, number 6, Adam Braverman. Parenthood seems like a popular one with the pioneer women of the world. Jim Halpert from The Office was number 5? Number 4, here we go though. Ray from Everybody Loves Raymond. Michael Bluth, number 3.
That makes sense to me.
Number 2.
Wow, thank you.
Number 2, Johnny Rose from Schitt's Creek.
Oh,
that is a good TV dad.
Not a dad.
Not a good
and
dad.
And number
he's
1.
I would say he's a good dad. Yeah,
he's trying. He's a good dad in the way that it's like, oh, he's really trying.
Oh. Number 1.
No
way, dude.
No.
No way, dude.
Tim Taylor from Home Improvement. Number one.
Answer me this, Tim Taylor. If we all came from dads, why are there still dads here?
That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe some of this list is pretty insane. Michael Bluth being in the top five is maybe the most egregious of all of them.
Number three.
Dude, I really thought Michael Bluth was going to be a throwaway and you guys were going to be like, ha ha ha, that's so funny.
That's why I made that face at you. You said Michael Bluth and I was like, here we go. He gave up. Number three.
But that's it, y'all. That is the, according to the pioneer woman, this would be one of the first women, the pioneer woman.
The first,
I think that's what that
ever
means.
Woman.
The, she pioneered women. I think that's what the name means. The pioneer
She's
woman
the
herself.
Woman.
If anyone knows dads, it's her. That is our best dads of TV. Tune in next week for the best dads of film.
That list is an interesting list because it ended up being more encompassing than I expected, having more dads that I would have thought would be there, and then also being very confusing with a few of its decisions, both in rank and inclusion.
Yeah,
it's like a great episode. That's how you would describe a great episode of like a reality competition show. Like, wow,
yeah, that's true.
That's exactly what I thought would happen, except the biggest thing that
everything.
Happened was out of nowhere. You know, just like
it had everything. Well, speaking of having everything, I guess we should go to shout announcements.
Welcome
to shout announcements.
That's so cute. It's like if a flower talks in a Ghibli movie.
I'm not sure that I could do that sound twice.
That's okay.
I mean, we recorded it, so we'll always know. Yeah.
It's there forever.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Four things. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Two Chunks Movie Club has been a wonderful experience. Just in May, we went to Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes of the Two Chunks Movie Club of ours.
John Malkovich?
Thanks, John Malkovich.
No way. Did I really? That'll never happen again.
More than voice.
That'll never happen again. Okay, good to know. And the month before that, we saw Monkey Man. It doesn't look like we're going to be about the monkeys anymore, unfortunately, for June. But here is our first look at the options that we have. I'm kidding you not. June surprises me because it is not... It doesn't... Okay. It's not quite what May was. Here are our choices. No joke. And this could be fun. We have a lot of fun seeing things that we don't want to see.
You're getting me so excited for it. You're
so
really
pumped.
Selling it.
Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die is one of our choices.
Oh, my God. Do not pick
this. I'm gonna
Can you imagine us just jumping into the fourth installment, though? I'm just saying, man.
We each get one.
No.
Yeah.
See, they have the power. You have the power.
This is where your relentless optimism actually hurts us because no, I can't imagine us jumping into the fourth one and I don't. Nobody wants that.
I simply won't. You guys will go have
You
a
can't
good time.
Do that.
If people vote on it, it will just be for the joke of making us watch
Pardon
it.
Me, sir.
Nobody actually wants to hear us.
I don't believe you recall. No. I'm an adult. I can do what I want. Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die. Pixar's Inside Out 2. A Quiet Place, Day 1. And, this one's also not doing so well. Horizon, An American Saga. This is the Kevin Costner first of a trio of Western epics.
We don't have to let him choose the ones that we don't want to see.
Bro, that's the Two Chunks Movie Club. These are also things, listener, this is something you're choosing to see with us. So come on. There's some pretty clear choices here. Again, that's Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die. Inside Out 2, Horizon, An American Saga, or A Quiet Place, day one. Now, here's the deal. I am fine to replace either Horizon or Bad Boys 4 with The Watchers, but I don't know how much you want to just go see a scary movie this early in the year. The Watchers looks real scary. It's got some good hype.
I'd rather see The Watchers than Horizon and American Adventure.
Okay. Then it replaces. It replaces.
That's not me saying please vote for that.
I mean, Inside Out 2 comes out next month. Let's stop playing games.
Do you guys think there's going to be a monkey in Inside Out 2?
Maybe.
I'll stand up if there is. I'll be so excited. Lucky. We gotta have our monthly monkey.
There you go. That's our choices. Forget Horizon ever existed. It's now The Watchers.
Oh, done.
Starring Dakota Fanning.
I hadn't. That was the first time I had heard of it. Was when you said it a second ago.
I saw the poster and I was like, "Is this Yellowstone? Is this part of Yellowstone?
Everything's Yellowstone."
I'm surprised Pioneer Woman didn't list any of the dads from Yellowstone.
Is this a relative of M. Night? Like this director has the same last name as M. Night Shyamalan.
I believe his daughter is directing something, and I would guess it's probably
this is it, my guys. Look at that.
Cool.
Yeah.
M. Night's daughter and Zoe Kravitz are both directorial debuts this year, huh?
That's fun.
That Zoe Kravitz movie looks fun.
Yeah, it does look great. It looks like a lot of fun.
Too bad it's not coming out. In June.
Looks like a lot of fun. Next week.
July was going to be great.
July is going to be great.
Go ahead.
Next week's also going to be great. Because we're watching another dad movie. And that's going to be Total Recall, starring our friend, one of my favorite dads we've ever watched, Arnold Schwarzenegger. The only Arnold I can do is to say Jamie, and I can't do anything else. Can one of you guys do an Arnold to save me and help me out?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah,
I got you. Deborah. It's not a tumor. It's not.
Give me your motorcycle, your boots, and your hat.
Yeah, get to the chopper. Deborah, get on the chopper.
Everybody loves Arnold.
Oh, that's
the reverse.
Good.
Yeah. That's my Arnold.
Yeah. Arnold.
Yeah.
It's me, Arnold.
Oh, man. Excited.
You said what the movie is?
Yeah, Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Oh, I couldn't recall.
Oh, got him.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We ready?
Yep. Yeah.
Are y'all ready for this?
Ba-na-na-na-na.
What was that?
Oh, that was down by the bay.
It is. That was it.
Ba-na-na-na-na. Y'all ready for this? Down by the bay. Where the watermelons grow.
Ba-na-na-na.
I suppose that means we're back.
Just an entire arena of sports is just like,
Can I, before we start, offer you guys, the two of you, my sincerest thanks? Because as I was watching this movie last night, there was a part of me that was like, are they trying to pull a sneaky on me? Are we doing a Despicable Me series leading up to Despicable Me 4? Are they going to make me watch Minions this whole time?
No.
And trying to trick me.
Why would you think that?
Why would I pick this lineup and not do it?
That's what I was wondering. I just didn't know. So thank you. Wow. No Minions.
You thought we were going to get here today and reveal that the joke was that we had to watch Despicable Me, but not you?
You never know, dude. With a crazy podcast, like that's that kind of like off the wall zany
prank.
Energy
dude,
we bring.
That's bananas of you to think
what
that.
What a terrible prank.
That would be an awful. That's a win.
Good thing we didn't do it.
You guys,
you got to watch
there.
The cool movie. Good prank. Actually, I like Despicable Me 1. I think it's a pretty fun movie.
Can you imagine me sitting in my living room watching Aliens?
We've reviewed it.
And you guys are just that. Tonight, we're going to steal the moon. The moon.
Have you all seen that TikTok where somebody put that audio over Taylor Swift?
Yep.
At her concert. And then when all the minions make noise, it pans out to her fans.
Oh, like, dude, that's funny.
We, the wedding we were at this past weekend, right after we finished the like send off with the sparklers, the bride turned around at the top of the stairs and did that entire tonight, minions. And we steal the moon, and all the guests like lost their minds cheering.
That's sick. That's very cool.
So funny.
That's so fun.
So funny.
That's very cool. I like that a lot.
So funny.
That's the kind of energy that I appreciate.
Alejandro, if you're listening, great move. Made me laugh very big.
Big laugh.
You gonna synopsis?
Doge, do you want to give us a synopsis?
Yeah. I wanted you to ask.
Dang.
And now that I have, does that move the needle for you at all? Okay.
Yeah. I think it probably does.
Probably. This week's IMDb synopsis comes to us courtesy of the king of IMDb himself. Nick Reganis.
Nicholas!
Living in a state of suspended animation for the past 57 years, the sole survivor of the bloody Nostromo massacre in Alien 1979, Lieutenant First Class Ellen Ripley wakes up in a salvage ship on its way back to Earth. Now faced with the consequences of her actions, disgraced Ripley reluctantly accepts to escort the junior executive, Carter Burke, along with a tough-as-nails squad of U.S. Colonial Marines, to Hadley's Hope, the terraforming and mining colony on LV-426, in exchange for her pilot's license. But there, on the dark surface of the remote exoplanetary satellite, multitudes of predatory endoparasitoid creatures known as xenomorphs.
Let's go, Nick.
That's a SAT word, Nick.
Let's go, Nick.
Creatures known as xenomorphs, just like the aggressive Stage 3 drone that killed Ellen's companions, prowl the area. This time, it's war. And as the undaunted, acid-spewing space insects decimate the armed-to-the-teeth troops once more, Ripley must take her life into her own hands. Can a woman alone put an end to the nightmare of the ferocious aliens?
Worth playing for?
Worth playing for? Want to know what you're playing for? Your pilot's license.
A trip to the sanctuary where you'll be treated to explosions, acid blood, and your pilot's license. Worth
acid
playing for?
Blood.
I'm allergic to pilot's license.
Oh gosh.
I'm pissed.
I'm caught up on all that too.
Okay,
and it's like, y'all are lucky I would have beat all y'all. I'm just like, oh my.
Q said somewhere on social media this week that not a single juror would have voted for Liz, which we all knew.
Of course.
But it's just
not
funny to have confirmed.
Yeah.
Just oblivious, dude.
Of course oblivious. Not.
I've also seen that Kinsey is like, the edit for Liz was pretty bad. She's great. And it's like, I'm sure she is great. I'm not saying
Kinsey,
I think
this is
a
also
bad
why,
person.
Spoiler, you want. This is also why.
Sure, yeah.
You're just
you don't
too,
need her.
You're
you don't
so
need her vote
nice.
Anymore. You don't need her vote anymore. Say what
I'm
you think
sure
about her.
Liz is a cool person to like hang out with sometimes.
Dude,
I'm just saying I
the
think
way
that
Kinsey
it's hilarious.
Kept that narrative though when she was addressing Liz, who is now on the jury, of like, that's why you would have beat me.
It duh.
Yeah.
It was
lie.
It was brilliant.
Yep. Lie. Ugh, so good. But Aliens.
Is Aliens the we talked about pioneer women, first episode. Is Aliens, this movie, the pioneer space marines? Did like badass squad of space marines, each with their own special cool weapon and some of them with different armor, did that idea exist before Aliens?
I don't know, but this certainly feels early in that game, doesn't it?
Right.
Because this what's so funny like is like, I can think of many after, many, yeah. many after. Yeah. Maybe.
I feel like Aliens invented the, like, here's a squad of cool, badass space marines that's like...
Just put them out in space, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's everything from... That informed Halo, that informed even modern stuff like Helldivers, that informed the Bad Batch from Star Wars. Like, it's everywhere now. And I feel like Super Troopers, I can't think of something before... Yeah, I can't think of something before this.
Universal Soldier.
I can hear that.
Yeah. I think it very likely had a lot to do with that.
Way to go,
honestly,
Aliens.
Even things like Armageddon, which doesn't really have aliens, but it is taking that it's taking the characters from Predator, you know, and putting them in space, essentially. Which, duh. Like, why did it take so long, to be honest?
Right.
Yeah, but sure. Of course, what's James Cameron is the one to be like, well, why don't we?
Dude, I think...
Do this?
Okay. I'm a defender of Avatar. I think those movies are fun and fine. I don't think they're groundbreaking cinema. I think they're fun and fine. Technology, groundbreaking, sure. The movies
I think
themselves.
Fine is the perfect word to describe the
Avatar. The movies themselves are fine. Technology is unbelievably great. The worst thing I think that happened to cinema post-Titanic was James Cameron's hyperfixation on Avatar. Because I think James Cameron is at his very best when he sees a cool idea or hears of a cool story and is like, I'd like a turn to make one of those.
Yeah, dude.
So him coming in and doing Terminator 2,
imagine.
Him coming in and doing Aliens, him
Do you know,
being like, I've heard of Titanic. I'd like to make a Titanic. Can you imagine if we didn't have Avatar and instead we had James Cameron's District 10?
Yeah, dude, sure.
Yeah, dude.
Come on. That's such a bummer.
It feels like in college when your buddy was dating a girl that you didn't like very much. Like, you didn't hate her or like dislike her, but like you lose him. Like, he's just dedicated to that relationship now. And it feels like it's going to be for a while. And then you're like, oh, they're engaged. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to figure out. I need to really give this girl a shot because I think she's going to be in my life way more than I had anticipated. But he's locked in on Avatar. Dude, honestly, if there was a lot of people that got thrown into the Star Wars game, that it was like they were just a big director, like J.J. Abrams kind of made sense because of some of the stuff he'd made. Yeah. But also, like, maybe James Cameron there, people would be
James
excited
Cameron's
about that.
Star Wars Episode 7.
I mean, sure. Like,
come on, man.
Maybe we give that a shot. But yeah, the fact that he's locked up, that's a really good way to put that. What a unique, I can't think of anything like what Alien, like the transformation of Alien to Aliens in movie making, right?
Yeah,
right.
It's not
nothing
common.
that any movie lover hasn't heard before. We just change, we completely change genres. Obviously, it still works. Yes, there's a lot of players here. James Cameron, the crew that he had to kind of replicate some of the stuff from the original Alien that we didn't really have anymore, which was pretty brilliant, you know, work. This was our most decorated of any Alien movie. This had 5 Academy Awards. It won 2. My super pump, though, is like, it won for, I think, sound and like special effects. Let me look.
Yeah.
It won 2 Oscars.
The Xenomorphs look fantastic.
Best effects
in this.
Yeah. Sound effects, editing, and then visual effects is what it won for. It also was nominated for art direction, sound, and actress in a leading role, actually. So Sigourney Weaver got nominated.
Oh, wow.
My super pump, I think we know none of this happens without Ripley. So what we've done with Ripley, it's kind of like Alien. She went from wise observer to survivor, and now she's gone from survivor to warrior. And it was fun to watch. Like, that's what's crazy. I will forever show my love for Alien. If you know enough, you don't even have to ask me. It's inked on my body. Alien is one of my favorite movies of all time. So to do something honestly almost completely different to me from the first movie and still make it its own, it doesn't get to even be in the same family, even if we've had several iterations of this franchise that still have xenomorphs or still have androids or still have references to ships that we've seen before. But if we don't have Ripley, it's not the same. And so to have her here and that work, and again, we tried. We'll use her again. We keep using her, I think, for two more movies.
Two more. Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, right?
We completely ring that out. But we hit a perfect spot here, this 7 years later. And it's wild to me that this worked. And it had to have her. She was great.
She was fantastic. The movie feels so like distinctly and uniquely mid-1980s.
Yeah.
In the way that it's like every single thing here. And it's not bad, but you mentioned the art direction. I think the art direction is fantastic. Every single thing here feels like it was designed to be like what looks cool on screen and what also makes an action figure. And I think it works. It lends this like kind of like heightened, like not quite cartoony, but definitely exaggerated realism. And it's, I mean, obviously there's aliens, so, but like this kind of exaggerated feel to the movie that I think is so great. The moment I think that is one of the most, I think one of the best things this movie does is when we're, when the Space Marines are like investigating what they find out to be the Alien Queen's nest. And they're like going to all the trackers of the colonists there. The fact that that's an inversion of the like entire first movie, where it's like the humans become the hunters and the alien becomes the prey who's trying to hide from the humans. And then humans don't come out on top in that situation either. I thought that was just a really, really cool inversion of that, that conceit from the first movie.
I think that there's a lot that this movie does right. I think environments are incredible in this movie. I think that just like the vibe of this movie is perfect. It is perfectly paced. Like this is one of the best paced action movies ever, I think. For me, my super dump is the physics. So there is something about this movie visually that ages worse than the first movie.
This movie definitely ages worse than Alien.
The first movie is like so timeless in its looks and so what I mean by physics is this is the thing that stood out the worst to me is the two examples are the xenomorphs dropping from the vents just look like dudes. They don't look like things that should weigh like 700 pounds. They look like they weigh, you know, dude weight dropping from the vents, and it just looks a little cheesy. And then the car, dude, the big like tank, the Cybertruck, the Tesla Cybertruck tank, looks ridiculous driving through that hallway.
Have you seen one of like just like a Tesla tank looks ridiculous? Have you seen one of those in person?
A Cybertruck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you noticed the windshield wiper singular?
No.
It's one massive wiper that just so bizarre.
When I saw it, I got too distracted because the guy that was driving it, his dong was so big, he closed it in the door on accident. So
It's because of how powerful and strong Elon Musk is. It's crazy. He's the pioneer male, you know?
It's the ugliest car that's ever existed.
The one.
It's the ugliest car that's ever existed. No, all I think time. It I'm used to be the Carter Burke of our day.
I'm going to join you on that super dump, particularly the scenes of the car driving through the hallway.
It's the
weight of the car. You can tell that that's a regular, like bare bones car with like some very thin material, and it just bounces in a way that it's like this huge piece of metal would not bounce. And then we try to dress it up with all the steam, and it looks like a worse version of Tim Burton's Gotham.
Yeah.
The Batmobile driving through. And she's definitely. Like, man, this is tough.
Which was happening around this time too,
right?
You know, like we see it.
Also, honorable mention goes to the face hugger tail flipping around while Ninja Turtle sound effects happen. They're like,
yeah. Well, that was that effect. Yes, they had that effect a lot.
So funny, dude. Oh, it cracks me up.
I don't know.
The weight of everything just felt too light.
Yeah.
There
was lots of times with the xenomorphs where it was like you're a dude in the suit. And but actually pretend you're an alien crawling an event. And we're going to hook you up to these wires and just whip you up super fast. So just move your arms and legs to keep up.
Do you feel like really good and really well done computer generated effects wore off quicker than like really well done practical effects? Like imagine the people of that day. Like it's to me, it's still impressive when practical effects are done well. I think of like Jurassic Park
for sure.
And Alien and things like that. That feels more impressive to me.
Say what you will about the Star Wars sequels. The practical effects in those are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the genius programming of, you know, and these people are still putting in as many or maybe more hours to make this stuff look good. I mean, we might watch Inside Out next month. That entire thing is just created. I don't get it. It feels like magic. But I think for that, I think I'm just spoiled with it. You know, we saw Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and I'm not thinking anymore. And we talked about this, about like, wow, the fire looks real, or like their hair. I can't believe their hair flows that way. I'm not impressed anymore. But a really good, like, Fury Road, the fact that it was like, hey, almost all of this is practical effects. That just feels more impressive. And so even with some of the things that they were doing in Aliens, some of it looking boo-boo, there was still a lot of it that I was like, oh my gosh.
For sure. There's like a weight and presence to practical effects that I feel like is so hard to nail digitally.
Yeah.
And like my super pump for this movie is the Alien Queen. That huge puppet, that big practical effect Alien Queen.
It's crazy, dude.
Is crazy.
Freaking it Asthma is, Queen.
It is phenomenal, dude. And just like the reveal of the Alien Queen, where it's like we see all the room of eggs, and then we see an egg being laid by the queen, and then we trace her ovipositor all the way to the rest of her body.
And you know it's coming. You know it's coming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We draw it out.
And we keep...
She stumbles upon the room. Yeah.
Yes. We keep cutting back to Spielberg's face, where she's like reacting to something that we can't see.
Yes. Yes.
And then showing the queen. Oh my God, dude. It's so good.
My super pump is the last 20 minutes, that scene included, because the last 20 minutes becomes Alien 1 again. It is Ripley versus this unstoppable force.
If it's just her against the alien. Yeah, 100%. Yep. And they even give us... The kill shot is the same one from the first movie, and I don't care. Yep. Well, duh.
That's fine.
And even in my head, I'm like, yo, get them to a door. Just get them to a door.
Yeah.
If it worked,
Jordan.
If she didn't do that, we'd be like, do the same thing again. What are you doing?
Yes.
It was fine last time.
The beginning of those last 20 minutes, like right when we're starting that, to me, it starts at Ripley basically getting, it's Maximus Decimus getting ready to be entered up into the arena to fight the Emperor. Mm. Like he's putting on his armor, he's picking his weapon. But when Ripley's going down that elevator, they give us like maybe almost a full minute of her prepping, zooming in on her face. Like, that's such good job by Sigourney Weaver. And it also feels like, you know, Rocky, like, as he's walking to the ring. Like, this was like, okay, she suits herself up in that thing, and it's time to go. Oh, that's not the beginning. That's, like, near the end, the, like, final,
for me, final little bit of it. But the nonverbal
so
of her, of Ripley and the Alien Queen just watching each other as Ripley walks around the eggs. And you get the sense that the Alien Queen's like, you're fine, just don't mess with my eggs, I'll let you go. And then when Ripley sees one start to hatch, the nonverbal from Sigourney Weaver of like, well, I guess we're doing this, and then lights all the eggs on. Oh my God, dude. I could watch that a million times and never get tired of it. It's so
the
good.
Shout out to Sigourney that I also want to give, same scene just a couple minutes before that, is when she finds the doll. And she starts to cry.
Also, that
and
doll
then she
is
hears
terrifying.
Newt, and she changes so fast.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's just, I don't know. I loved that. For this new, who's it? Is it Fede Alvarez that's directing this new?
Ooh, Alien Romulus? Yes, it is.
Okay. So what I hope to see from a new iteration of Alien is that scene. You know what I mean? It's the scene in the room with the chains from Alien. It's the scene in the egg hatching room from Aliens. It is that Alien, the franchise, is at its best. And Carter, you're the expert here, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's at its best when it is... First of all, it almost feels like part of the DNA of Alien is a female main character, a woman
has
going
to be.
Up
and that's what we have in Romulus.
Force. Yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like part of the DNA of Alien is one woman versus this unstoppable, terrifying force of nature. And it is less about flamethrowers and machine guns chewing through these aliens and more about how on Earth are we, well, I guess not on Earth, how in space are we going to, am I going to survive?
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's those moments, the silent, no music, stepping through the eggs, the sort of standoff between Queen and Ripley, and then we got to do this.
Here's the thing.
It's the sneak through the vents.
I'm still waiting for, And, you know, maybe Prometheus is the closest we got to this, which, by the way, is a great, I think, Prometheus outside of.
Yeah, I like Prometheus. Yeah.
Prometheus is wonderful. I think I'm ready to see. I'm not upset if I see an alien movie where the aliens completely win.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
yeah,
there is no hope. I'm fine because it is. It needs to also feel just so, like Jordan was saying, hopeless that you, because in Alien, you're kind of like, okay, this is going to be epic tragedy. Everyone's going to die because they've tricked us because we thought it was dead and they've done this to us two or three times now. Of course she's going to die and she doesn't. But I'm fine if the aliens win.
Dude, I think you might get your wish with Alien Romulus because it is set between Alien and Aliens. And when we start Alien,
like Rogue One.
Yeah, it'd be like Rogue One. Nobody in Aliens thinks the Xenomorphs are real, so that's it. Yeah. I mean, I do think it's, I think you might get your wish.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I'm very excited for it.
Looks good. Have you guys seen the like set videos and stuff of the practical face huggers they've made and everything?
No.
They're like going super practical with stuff. It looks really good. It was supposed to be a Hulu original release. And then they screened it and were like, this is really good. And so it got bumped to theatrical.
Cool. Nice. I mean, that's what was going to happen with Prey until, wasn't it COVID is the reason that Prey got put on Hulu instead of theaters? So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Prey was great. Awesome, dude. If Alien Romulus, if we are in a revival of Alien and Predator back to like what they're supposed to be.
Good.
Sign me up. And by the way, Alien versus Predator is a fun movie. It's just not really either of those two franchises. It's like its own thing. Right.
Kong and Godzilla. I do want to go ahead and say my super dump, and it's something that I don't even think would have been brought up if it wasn't just a super dump, what seemed to be a shot at romance. I think there's no place for that.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
There was like one of our guys seemed to be, it's funny because it's going to sound just so chauvinistic, but it's like, part of the point too is we have to, there's a point of feeling sorry for a female lead protagonist, like in Silence of the Lambs, because she's just a cut of meat to a lot of people. You want to be on the side of the smarter, like not ignorant of like, oh, well, it's just a cat call. Like I would rather that have been the case. Like the Marines are just hitting on her and I'm like, oof, it makes me just want her to kill things even more. But the fact that it felt like it was reciprocated. And I'm not trying to keep Ripley from having love. I wish she would. She just woke up and found out her 68-year-old daughter died. So please, you know, find some redemption here. But yeah, having the guy who is also seems to be the most attractive of the crew, who kind of stands out and looks the least like a Marine and more like someone in a Michael Bolton music video. It's just like, man, this is not it. Like, this is not what she's supposed to do. And the moment he's out of the... Anytime he's out of the picture are all the best moments, you know?
Yeah.
When we try and make him the hero of Aliens, like, going in to save them from the facehuggers and stuff like that, I'm out, dude. Like, I'm not about that at all. So that was my super dump. I could have gone without him altogether.
Yeah.
Agreed. He looks like a direct-to-video Mark Hamill. Looks like they were like, sure. The guy from Star Wars? Well, no, this guy looks like him, though.
Yes.
I want to give a special shout-out before we rate it. Special shout-out to Paul Reiser as Burke. I think he did a really great job.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he's very, like, he's, like, charismatic and fun. But biggest of all shout-outs to Lance Henriksen and Bill Paxton, who are the two characters that aren't Ripley that are the best in this movie.
Yes. Bishop is fantastic, dude.
Yep.
Bishop's so awesome. Good.
And Hudson... I mean, Game Over Man is like an iconic line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 100%. in the single quote Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah.
His whole vibe is just fantastic.
Certainly not he alone, but Bill Paxton's character in this helps it make it so very clearly 80s action too. Like he has to be here. Just the one that everyone's having to like on top of all the other stresses say, shut up, you idiot. Like that's such a 80s action thing of like, okay. And he's usually that character's usually one of the last to survive too, you know?
Yep.
They're going to hang around just until nearly the end. They're a big death. Could be a funny death, but that was good. Carter Burke, when he dies in the movie, Reiser's mom was watching that with him. And that was some of my favorite trivia that she just says, good. to herself. Like when he, even she was so, this guy's so despicable. That's she's like, so good. And she watched her son die.
That's so funny. I love that, dude. Good. Good for you, Miss Reiser.
Good yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, I guess it's time to rate this movie using the Scientific Cinema Scale, which is perfect and as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie,
God hath forsaken us.
I think for the sake of... Nope.
Oops.
I think for the sake of...
Oops. I'll go. I'm renting it. Oops. I'm renting it. I'm renting it. It's great. It does not... I think it is completely eclipsed by the movie that came before it in every way.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not fun, and that doesn't mean it's not worth watching, because it definitely is. So I'm renting this movie.
I'm going to buy it. Easy poster for Alien. And I think some of the reason Alien works so well is because you barely see the xenomorph. And some of the reason this gets pushed down to a buy to me is because you do see a lot of xenomorph, and it looks good 60% of the time, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
This has aged worse than Alien has, but this is still so, so much fun.
The xenomorph unfurling from its position on the wall at the beginning is awesome.
Yes. So the shot where you have a human in the foreground and then the background just moves and you find out that's been a xenomorph just like coiled into the nest.
That's
the
what I'm talking about.
That's great.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's great.
Would you rather come to from unconsciousness in a web woven by Shelob or in a hammock mucused by a xenomorph?
I have to say xenomorph just because a giant spider... I think I would die.
I do too, but those are both balls.
I understand.
Good options.
No, I can understand Shelob. I've killed many smaller versions of that. I can't understand a xenomorph.
Yeah, it's so gross. Also, I found myself missing what I'm calling Spielberg children, the ones that can kill things, because Newt was worthless. I was like, where I'm so used to, especially during this time, it's like even Short Round is killing a couple like slave drivers.
Well, let's get Lex in here to hack these aliens. That would even be better.
I just love that Newt looks like a 1500 street urchin when they find her.
You know, I mean, we kind of like, it's like a chimney it was sweep. Newt reborn in the most recent Avatar when we had the monkey boy.
Spider.
The Thornberry's guy. Wild Thornberry's guy. I will buy this movie. I think I want to make sure, because I do tend to, it's a little bit more than my experience for like iconic movies. It's like how I watched this was probably more of a rent, but I do want to give some clout to what this pulled off, which is just absolutely wild. And it wouldn't be a poster. I definitely want people to look back through, like when they find our spaceship and it's got the archives of all the movies we've done. Uh-huh. They need to know that I don't rate this the same as Alien for sure. But yeah, it is a buy. It's a fun movie. I don't think I had ever seen the movie in entirety from beginning to end. I think I had seen it all.
Yep.
Such a Dad or Day afternoon thing.
Yep.
In bits and pieces.
Dude, I think that every Dad or Day afternoon we find that with at least one of the movies where we're like, I've never sat down and pushed play on Independence Day. I've just seen like bits and pieces of it in between the NBA finals.
Yes. And it is NBA finals right now.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah, perfect timing for the series.
My mom sent me a screenshot yesterday of the thing on Instagram with the dad standing and watching TV that we posted, that Claudia posted, our amazing social manager. And my mom was like, was this your idea? And I was like, no, mom, this is a universal dad experience. Like, this is not just us. And she was like, what?
The responses that we got on our Instagram from that, where everybody's like, yep. Like, yep, 100%.
That's just what dads do.
It's just a thing.
I don't know what it is, but dads stand up and watch things while they're sweaty. That's what they do. Anyway, make sure you tune in next week. We're going to talk about Total Recall, get a little Arnie. It's going to be a good time. So make sure you jump in with us for that. Stay with us through Saturday afternoon, the whole summer, and the rest of forever, because that's how long we'll be doing this.
Welcome to the podcast, California. You can never leave.
Podcasting in our coffins as we speak. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and what weapon you would like to fight a xenomorph with. Let's call it any weapon ever. Fictional, non-fictional.
Any weapon ever, fictional, non-fictional.
Yeah. Let's, you know, keep it realistic. Let's not
easy,
be like
Infinity
Gauntlet or whatever. You know what I mean?
Easy.
Let's
sure,
keep it
yeah.
Like handheld weapons. Let's not
any
call
weapon
easy,
ever,
dude.
Physical, not physical, real, not real. But not easy, Infinity dude. Gauntlet. Because that doesn't easy, fit those dude. Criteria.
I just know that you're going to hack it and be like, I'm going to fight it with the Infinity Gauntlet and snap it out of existence. Don't be a dork is what I'm saying. Don't be a dork. Like, be cool for once. It's lightsaber. Yeah. I'm Jordan and it's lightsaber. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan and it's lightsaber. Although I probably will delimb myself in the process.
Yeah, is this a
it's
weapon?
Gotta
do I
be
have
too
proficiency?
Light, right? You ever wonder about the weight of that thing?
I think about that all the time with lightsabers.
I believe that.
I have a big thought about that. The reason the prequel lightsaber choreography is so great and the sequel lightsaber choreography is not is because the prequels, they're using stunt blades, which are very thin and light. And then in the sequels, they're using big, huge LED tubes that are basically like baseball bats, which is why everybody's swinging it like a Louisville Slugger instead of having the like finesse of the lightsaber forms from the prequels.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm Doge, and that's my weapon too. Me.
The same one?
No, I'm Doge. I will use a friendly
the bulldozer
xenomorph.
Himself. Bro.
A friendly xenomorph that I have trained to hunt
so
my
So you have
xenomorph.
Seen Alien versus Predator.
What's your call to the friendly xenomorph, my friend? What is your, how do you?
Hey, go get him. That's the one you're supposed to eat for me, please. Lay your egg in his chest.
You befriended a face hugger. I'm Carter, and the cricket. It's a tiny gun from Men in Black that is made for killing aliens. And it's got a big punch. Good. And I want to make extra sure, bro, I'm not trying to put 500 rounds and cross my fingers that I get one. I want to aim it and know that I have a wide berth and I will just obliterate it. I want to know that, like, if a few of them are lined up, they'll get in trouble too.
Yeah.
Bam, shoot that cricket and just destroy. Destroy. I think Queen is done. One shot from that little
it's
cricket.
Over.
I was a wide berth.
Yeah.
That's why my head is so big.
That's crazy, dude.
That's how you get clicks.
I'm ready to put that's how you get clicks in the ground.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.